Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Version 7, Manage Profiles Interactive Utility Overview. Today's presenters are Randall Anders, Alain DeValle, and Paul Van Norman. Randall has been employed by IBM since February 2000. Since that time, he has worked on many WebSphere application server products dating back to version 3.5. Randall has had a positive impact on many teams during his tenure at IBM, such as system verification tests, development, beta education, and currently WebSphere application server level 2 support. Alain joined the WebSphere team in 2003 and works in Level 2 customer support for the WASP admin team. As a senior member of the administration team, he is responsible for assisting customers with the debugging of WebSphere problems. Paul has been team lead for various WebSphere application server support teams since 2007. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Randall, Alain, and Paul.
Hello, everyone. I would like to thank everyone for joining us this morning. My name is Alain Del Valle, and I have worked on the team for the past 8 years, like Joseph said. In today's presentations, we are going to discuss the Managed Profiles Interactive Utility, which we created. Let's go ahead and move over to slide 2, Joseph. Okay, before we begin, I would like to make a differentiation in the terms used in this presentation so there is no confusion. You will hear the following two terms, Managed Profiles and Managed Profiles Interactive. The Managed Profiles is the utility that is currently comes with the product itself to create WebSphere profiles. The Managed Profiles Interactive utility, which is a tool which we created and assists the managed profiles in the creation of profiles. In today's agenda, we'll go over some background. First, we'll go over what is the managed profiles command. Why use the managed profiles command? Problems with the current managed profiles command that the product has shipped with it. And why did we go ahead and create an interactive tool to assist the managed profiles command? Next, we'll go over some features. How to create and how it creates and uses response files, the command log that is created when using the utility itself. We'll go over some validation rules that the tool has in order to create these profiles. Finally, we'll go over some problem determination and we'll do some Q&A. Let's go ahead and move over to slide 3. In profile creation, there are two ways that the product comes with it as of today that can be used. You can use the profile management tool, which allows a user to create, augment, or delete profiles. The PM2 tool is a wizard GUI interface which helps you create your profiles. Next, we have the other utility, which is command line utility, so the manageprofiles.sh or /bat, depending on which operating system you're running on. This one is needed for other tasks such as backing up profiles, restoring profiles, listing profiles, and many other things. There are over 60 parameters that can be passed with the command line utility itself. Let's go ahead and move over to slide 4. So you may ask yourself, why would I use the managed profiles instead of using the PMT GUI? In addition to creating profiles, the managed profiles command can also carry out other profile management tasks, such as backing up profiles, which I mentioned, restoring profiles, running a response file, listing profiles, deleting one or all profiles in your install, etc. There are a couple other things that it can actually do. Aside from creating and augmenting profiles, these tasks are not available with the profile management tool GUI. So let's go ahead and move over to slide 5. In continuation of why we would use the managed profiles, prior to version 8, PMT GUI is not available for the 64-bit versions of WebSphere, so you had to use just managed profiles. There's no GUI version. It's only available for the 32-bit versions of WebSphere. Another thing that some clients remotely administer their systems using some flavor of X Windows, Sigwin, etc., and this requires some specific operating system shared libraries to be installed on the operating system. If these are not installed, it will fail to run properly, and this usually causes a PMR to get generated with IBM. In addition, some clients work on systems that have no GUI capability. They run in headless mode and can only work through scripting or command line. Others just prefer to use command line tools and scripts versus GUI due to the large number of profiles they administer each day and the speed which tasks can be completed via scripting. Let's go ahead and move over to slide 6. So a few more problems with the managed profile. The complexity of the utility itself, we'll show a slide in a later slide, basically has over 60 parameters that can be passed. If a parameter is not recognized, say due to spelling error, the defaults are taken. Administrators may not be aware the wrong profile configuration is being created. Let's say, for example, dash server type takes admin agent, job manager, or deployment manager as one of the parameters. If you type by mistake dash server type instead of dash server type admin agent, it will take the default of the deployment manager instead of the admin agent. There's also some confusion with what parameters are needed with each profile. And in the info center, if you're a novice user, it can actually confuse you as what parameters you will want to use at what point in time with which profile template you're using. So let's go ahead and move over to slide 7. So here's an example of all the parameters. Well, these are not all of them. There's about 62 of the parameters, depending on the profile that we chose. So as you can see, there's a lot of parameters that can be passed there. If you use number 19, for example, dash federate later, depending whether this is a true or false, you may have to pass a few other parameters like DMGR host and DMGR admin username and password to be able to connect to the deployment manager. If not, the profile will not be created correctly and federated. There are many others that have dependencies when being used. We'll go ahead and discuss a few of these later on in a couple of slides that Paul Van Orman and Randall Anders will talk about. Let's go ahead and move over to slide 8. Finally, here we will introduce the Managed Profiles Interactive Utilities features. I will pass it over to Paul Van Orman so he can go over these. As I mentioned, this one we actually will download from the actual website that we'll give at the end of the presentation. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Lai. As mentioned, this is an added tool that is not shipped with WebSphere, and it does act as a wrapper to the Managed Profiles EXE tool. And again, at the end of the presentation, we'll show you how to get it. Some of the features of this tool is it provides an interactive menu that you can you're presented with the various options, and you can select them individually. It also provides you with syntax examples for the specific commands you're running. And in many cases, it provides default values. So it inspects your system, your configure operating system and where you have it installed, and provides you with a value that is consistent with your environment. There are also some validations that it does. So at the very end, prior to running the command, it'll actually check and validate a number of the parameters to make sure they're completed properly. Also, while walking through the creation and setting of some of the parameters, we give you some warnings and notices just so that you don't run into problems later on. And the last bullet there shows that we can use it to create response files and use response files. The Managed Profiles tool itself uses response files, but normally what you have to do is end up using some examples out of the Info Center to create a response file. So this one will actually ask you, prompt you all the questions, and instead of running the command, you are able to create a response file using that, and that way it's syntactically correct. Page 9, please. The menu, as you're going through it, does display, because there's so many parameters to set, it does display which ones you have set and which ones you don't. And if there's room in it, in the menu, it'll actually show you what the value is. So while you're creating it, if you see a value isn't set properly, you can actually go back and make those changes. You can do everything, all those types of things, before executing and running the command. It also shows examples for most of the parameters, so you know what to expect and what to put in there. Again, it detects system-specific settings, such as install root and log root. It also provides unique values for parameters, such as the host name, the cell name, and the node name and others. And that way you don't run into trouble whether there's another cell on the same machine that has the same name. And this is something that the PMT tool does for you too, so we kind of do the same thing there. There are also some keywords that are required when creating some of the parameters. An example is the JKS tool, or sorry, the JKS key store, and the JCEKS. If you were to type that in manually and do a typo, you would run into a problem and it would fail to create the proper key store. So we don't allow you to make that mistake. We just present a list of the keywords and you just select from the list. Page 10, please. The first part of the interactive menu here is we actually prompt you. It's more of a wizard. So we prompt you for the specific items that are required for that particular profile. After you've finished, and they're usually just like 6 or 7, and after you've entered all those required parameters, then you're presented with a menu that you can enter in any particular order of all the optional parameters. One of the most difficult and confusing templates to use is to create the cell profile. It actually consists of two profiles, the cell DMGR and the cell default. The cell default and the cell deployment manager actually require a number of parameters. We have a response file that we can show you a little bit later that shows you some of the parameters that need to be identical between the two. And that's including the case, so it's uppercase, lowercase. If you don't have it properly set, you're going to make a mistake and it will not create the cell properly for you. It also reduces confusion of what parameters are used with what profile. So only the parameters that are specific to a profile that you selected are presented to you. So you're not going to worry about what's required, what's not required, only the ones that are for that parameter or for that template is displayed. Page 11, please. All right, so here's an example of a couple of syntax examples showing. First one here is when the user selects the personal cert key store. The first bullet shows the syntax and asks the web server install root slash profiles, and then you'd have the profile name, Etsy directory, and then you'd have the key store and the extension. And that's just one of the locations where you might have your key store. The next example, the EG underneath that, shows a system specific, so it would be your system, the fully qualified path to where, again, we would normally expect to have a key store file placed. But because you're not required to do that, and you can put it anywhere you want, we allow you to type it in manually. But again, you at least see what's expected and know what to type in. The next example, we give a little bit of a warning for it, and then this is to that we would require quotes around the DN. And then we give an example of a DN of CN equals John Doe, OU equals Rochester, O equals IBM, and C equals US. And then this is for the signing cert. Again, we cannot pull that from your system because it's unique, and you would have to know that if you were deciding to create a signing cert DN. Page 12, please. All right, so here's an example of some of the output that I went through on the wizard when I was creating a DMGR. This is kind of a screenshot. This is similar to what the PMT tool would do, and that is it inspects your environment, inspects your system configuration files, and provides you with a unique name, and that's what we're doing here. So the first set of three bullets, we see the default value is, that we're suggesting is DMGR07. And that's because on my system, I already had DMGR 01 through 6. And if I wanted to accept that value, I just hit enter, which I did in this case. The next one is the AppServer 05. And that's because I had AppServer 01 through AppServer 04 already on my system. So this one is unique. So all I have to do to take that one is hit enter, or I could have typed in my own. The next one that pops up is, the next prompt is the host name. It's picked up my host name, which is Vanna1. And again, I can type that in, or I could have typed in a fully qualified name if I wanted to. Or if I planned to create a response file, I could have typed in a different host name altogether. So it always lets you, gives you a chance to override. The next one after that was the node name. And this is just the naming convention that the PMT tool uses, and we kind of went the same route. It consists of the host name with the unique cell manager name. And again, hit enter to take the default. And the next one is the cell name, which consists usually of the host name and a unique cell name. You can type in whatever you want, but this is just the default that the PMT uses, and we kind of went the same route, like I said. So hit enter to take that. And then you're presented with a system-specific path to your profile. And again, it gets it from your environment, so all you have to do is press enter to take that. And so the values actually that we're doing is we're taking we're getting these unique names by inspecting a number of WebSphere system product files. That being the NIF registry properties, the dot NIF registry, profile.xml, and setup command line .sh or .bat. Also, if you're not running as root or you're running as other individuals on that same server, have their own configurations, if it's not set up in the default location that root would have, then it is possible to have other nodes and cell names on the same box. So if you're running as non-root, some of these profiles or some of these properties would be under the user root home. So the NIF registry is one of them. Slide 13, please. So some of the features of using the command line or the interactive tool is actually much faster than going through the GUI. And this is especially the case when you have more than one to create, one profile to create. Of course, once you're launching the command, I think they end up taking the same amount of time. But to set things up to begin with, to provide all the parameters, the interactive tool is actually faster than the GUI. It is also a wizard tool that is capable of working on a 64-bit system, which was not possible with the PMT tool prior to the version 8, which just came out about a month ago or less. This tool actually will work with version 8. It works with version 6.0, 6.1, 7, and version 8. It also allows you to bypass the need for installing and using X Windows. As Eli had mentioned earlier, and I think will be mentioned later, some of the problems with using X Window is even if the X Window is working, the PMT tool requires specific fonts and shared libraries. So the client may think, hey, I got X Windows working fine. Why can't I get the PMT to launch? And it's because of that reason. We need specific fonts and shared libraries. So this is a way to bypass that problem. Another feature is that we create a managed profile interactive log. And what that contains is all the managed profile commands that we end up passing back to the managed profiles executable. So after we collect all of the parameters that we want, that you want, and then we launch the managed profiles executable,
we actually put that into a log file for you to view later. And I think Randall will show you that in a screenshot. Page 14, please. The managed profiles executable itself creates a log for any of the managed profiles tasks that it does. And we run the task. We also display the exact location of the log. So for longer running tasks, such as creating a VMGR cell, you can actually go to the log file and just do it like a tail minus F and watch the creation, watch the log as the profile script is being executed. It also allows you to create or fix mistakes. And this is especially true if you're using a response file, because you can go in and you can make changes to things like the password or a host name or username if you want to do that. And this makes it easier, of course, for you to copy this to another system or create another profile with a different name using the same values on the current system. As I mentioned it earlier, in addition to creating profiles, it also allows you to do the other management tasks such as augment, backup, restore, and list, etc. And what it does is, for instance, if you select delete, it will actually present you with a list of profiles on your system, and you just select the number that's next to it and just press that number to delete it. Page 15. All right, so again, we mentioned a couple of times that it creates a response file, and this can be run at a later time. The response files that we do create are unique. And here's an example, and it gives you the location of it. The response file, create VMGR. So we know what it is. It's a response file where the task that's being done in here is a create of a VMGR. And the last five digits are a unique number. And that's because you may want to create different VMGRs using the different response files. And these ones will not overwrite earlier ones. And that way you can have a collection of them to create different types with different property settings. So it's a different kind of way of doing that. Also in the response file, if there's passwords created, we actually encode them so they're not exposed. And again, a good thing about using response files, it actually allows you to make minor changes and test different configurations without having to restart everything from scratch. And again, the response files are really one of the menu items that you would select from the tool. And again, it allows you to make minor changes if you want to run on different system twos, like changing the host name. Slide 16, please. All right, so this is an example of creating a cell profile. And this one's actually one of the most difficult profiles to create. When you have the PMT tool, that kind of takes care of everything for you if you're using the GUI. But from the command line, it actually, for the manage profiles, EXE itself, it really consists of two templates. Let me see here. So the first one is, I wanted you to notice, is that the response files, it creates two response files. One is for the cell DMGR and one's for the cell default. And you'll notice that the unique number on the end is identical between the two. So you know if you've created a cell response file, or set of them at least, that these two belong together because of the unique numbers. That kind of ties them up. And part of the complexity of this is if you're using the managed profiles on the command line, these things actually have to be typed in manually. And you can't have any typos, a case problem. The cell and the DMGR and the default have a number of parameters that must be identical. For instance, the profile path for the cell must match exactly the DMGR profile path for the node, or for the default. The node name must be identical between them both, as same as the cell name, and also the app server node name. So all these need to be created. They need to be exact for these two to work together and to create a cell successfully. Slide 17, please. And here we just have an example of the content of the managed profiles interactive log. It shows we just kind of give it a timestamp of when we run it, when it was run. And then the managed profiles .bat because this was a Windows. The first example, I'm using a dash delete, dash profile name, and then the profile name that I used. And you can see next underneath that, I just did the list profiles, and I got the default profile name and those things. So, again, this is something you could actually copy and paste on the command line and run it, and it would actually work for you. So if you're having problems with the syntax, something you could add to a script later on if you wanted to use it in that fashion. Okay? And so I think Randall will continue on with the next slides of validation and warning and problem determination. Slide 18, please.
Thank you, Paul. So I'll go through some of the validations and warnings that we provide with the tool. Again, the purpose in doing this is to prevent clients from making mistakes. Everything that's involved with the Managed Profiles Interactive tool has that purpose in mind, is to reduce the amount of time that it takes to create a profile and hopefully provide clients with ease of use such that they don't have to open PMRs for IBM. And we think that providing some of these validations and warnings help. So for validations, we have exactly 9 validation rules. And so what are the things that we validate? Well, initially, we show any validation rule failure and the appropriate user response. And we'll show an example of that in just a second. Second rule is that we ensure all parameters provided when importing personal or signer certs are provided. So that's a validation. If you selected to import a personal cert, then we make sure, I think there's 2 or 3 other parameters for personal certs. I think there's 5 of them that are also required. So we make sure all of those parameters are provided when importing either personal or signer certs. Another thing that we do is we check for mutually exclusive parameters and allow users to change them. For example, I know if you're creating a managed profile and you want to specify a different ports file, I think it's the ports default, or there's ports default, starting port, and node port file. Those 3 port parameters are mutually exclusive. So we make sure if you provide one that you're not trying to set another, because that can't work when using the managed profiles command. And a lot of these validations and things that we provide, the information is in the info center, but what we found from clients is that it's been hard for them to either understand it, or they read that and it's not quite clear, and they try things and they still make mistakes. So that's what these validations are for. Another one is for the set when service check, if the Windows service parameter is provided. That's another validation that we check. And also the web server check, if there's any web server parameters provided. Additionally, we check for admin username and password if you're enabling security. So if you toggle the enable security parameter, we validate and check that you also provide the admin username and password. And we do the same for the samples password. If you want to install the samples and you have security enabled, we make sure that you provide the samples password if they've been installed. And we also make sure that all required parameters have been set. One of the things we've heard from clients is that it's tough to understand what's required if I'm doing a create versus what's required if I'm doing an augment or a delete. And although it may list that in the info center, it's not quite clear, and clients have had issues with that. So we'll show you exactly what it looks like in the screen. We show you, or we make sure that all required parameters are set for that particular task. We also provide warnings and notices. For instance, we warn if the path or file that you specified doesn't exist. Well, that's similar to the way things work in any other GUI. If you provide a path and it doesn't exist, you can still accept it, and it will just create it in the background. But we prompt you for a warning because it may be a typo. Maybe that's not what you meant and you want to go back and change it. We also provide a warning that in version 6.0 and 6.1, you had an issue where if you created a profile as a cell, you created a cell profile, that it couldn't be augmented later. And this was an issue, and clients would be upset when they wanted to install a feature pack, whether it be EJB3 or web services, and if they used the cell profile template to create their cell, we had to tell them, I'm sorry, we don't support that in 6.0 and 6.1. You have to go back and recreate your entire environment using the Deployment Manager template and the default, and then federate the default into the Deployment Manager. Well, that wasn't very appeasing to clients. They didn't like that, and so we provide a warning here initially. So to prevent that from happening, we want you to know up front, if you're using the cell, it can't be augmented later if you need to install the feature pack. So that's a really good warning that you wouldn't have if you were using the Manage Profiles command on the command line. And we also provide additional wording for destructive commands such as delete, delete all, unaugment, just to make sure that before you hit enter, that's actually what you want to do, and you're deleting what you intend to delete. And these are things that you don't get when you run just the Manage Profiles command by themselves. Again, it may be in the Info Center, but clients don't really have the Info Center up right next to them when they're running these commands. It's good to have this feedback immediate right on the system when they're doing these things so it can prevent any gotchas and try to prevent mistakes before they occur. Slide 19, please. Some examples of the validation messages that we talked about. Here's two. The failure is that when you specify any parameter that begins with import personal, you must specify them all. And that's exactly what the validation message would show. And then it would show you the user response. Either clear each of the import personal parameters or set them all. Again, that's a good heads up. Prevents you from hitting continue and finding out that you don't have everything set that's required. Another validation feature is that when you specify enable admin security, you must also set admin username and the admin password. And the user response would be to either clear enable admin security or set the username and password. And then we always tell you to press enter if you want to return to the previous menu. Just an example of different validation messages that we provide to prevent you from making mistakes. Slide 20, please. Here's another example I talked about a minute ago, and this shows you exactly what that warning message looks like when creating a cell template. It tells you cell templates cannot be augmented later, and if you plan on augmenting the profile, then create a DMGR and a default profile and use the add node command to create the cell. Slide 21, please. So we've gone through quite a few features and why use this Manage Profiles interactive tool, and now we want to show you what it actually looks like. And I have a link on a page, if you're wondering, well, where can I get this from? I have a link on a page, a few pages down, that will show you where you can download it. But it's a zip file that you would download and you would extract to the WAS root bin directory. In the zip file, there's actually three files. There's a bat file, a .sh file, and a jar file. And you would copy, you can copy all three. If it's Windows, you don't need the .sh, but you copy them into the bin directory, and the command that you run to start everything is this run underscore manage profiles interactive command. Once that's run, you get a list of the actions that you can take. We've spent most of the time talking about create, but there's 17 different things you can do here that we provide. Create, augment, delete, unaugment. You can list profiles, backup, validate registry, validate and update registry. And again, all of these are listed in the Info Center, but we found that it helps to see all these tasks listed in such way, right? It provides a really visible, immediate feedback on what all can I do with the Manage Profiles command. And it even provides 18 to give you help on syntax if you need them. Slide 22, please. I apologize if this slide is a little hard to read, but what we're doing here on this one is this shows you the required parameters for the create command. And as we mentioned earlier, we talked about the complexity of creating a cell profile. So what I've done initially is I've selected the cell profile to create. But one of the first things that I want to call to your attention is at the top, the number of different profiles that are provided here. You can see this is, we've selected a cell. You can also select an application server, a deployment manager, a custom profile, a management profile, a secure proxy profile, or other. And we'll talk about some of these in just a second. But when Paul was talking about the complexity of creating a cell on the command line. There's two, if you use manage profiles command to create a cell on the command line, it actually requires two separate actions. It's two separate manage profiles commands. And I think in total it's like 16 parameters that you have to provide. Well, we have all sorts of PMRs from clients running into problems with that. And what we did was we modeled the way the PMT does it. The PMT hides all those complexities for you and only prompts you for what's needed and the things that are supposed to match between the node and the deployment manager. The client doesn't need to know that. And we don't have that issue with this, with the Managed Profiles Interactive tool. We only ask you what's needed, and we do all the rest of the work underneath the covers. So in this example, I chose to not take the default. I provided a name for the deployment manager, DMGR99. This is an example, and the same for the app server. And you can see it pulls the host name, and it automatically derives unique values for the cell name, the node name, and the app server node name. As Paul mentioned, all those things that need to be the same when you create the cell, either in the response file or in on the command line itself, you don't have to worry about that. The tool knows that in the background, and then it shows you what those required parameters are here at the bottom. This, in and of itself, saves a lot of clients from opening PMRs. We've had that problem several times, and this really helps in that regard. Slide 23, please. As we just went through all of the required parameters for the create cell command, now we show you all of the optional ones. Now let's just think about this. I think there were, if we were to do these two commands separately required, there were 16 commands that were 16 parameters that you would need to pass. On the previous slide, I think we collected them, and now we have the optional things that you can set. So you can see, this just shows you how confusing this would be to a client if they were doing this using the Info Center just for the create command, trying to determine which optional parameters go with the create command. Because we talked about there's over 60-plus parameters in general for managed profiles, and each action of those 1 through 17 that we showed takes a different subset of parameters. So for the create, there's 39 parameters that go with the create. That can be quite confusing. Clients open PMRs and ask us all the time, I don't know which parameter goes with this action. This is a really easy, visible way to see what optional parameters go with what task you're doing at that time. One of the things we also wanted to call out that Paul mentioned is you get immediate visible feedback. Now, this slide doesn't show you one step. So, for instance, the scenario is I want to enable admin security. The first red box that you see are the three parameters that are dependent on if you set enable admin security to true. So what you would do here is you would come in, you would hit number one, and what you don't see is that it would say enable admin security is currently set to false. Do you want to enable it? And you would select yes or type the word, the letter Y or the word yes. And once you hit enter, you come back to this screen where you see number one is set to true. And you also, you can't proceed. I think you get a warning message also that shows you if you set it to true, you also have to set number two and number three, the username and password. Now, you see the password is in clear case here. This is just for screenshot purposes. It's actually start out here. And it's also start out in the logs in the interactive, the managed profiles interactive log. But we did this just so we could prove a point here. Also, down on the bottom, the second red box, 35 through 39, part of the validation check and immediate feedback that we provide is that if number 36, when service account is set, you get a warning that says number 35, when service check must be true. So that's a good validation feature that you get by using the tool that you don't get if you were just using Managed Profiles command, or if you were relying on the Info Center, then you would have to try to draw that or defer that from what's provided in the Info Center. But you get immediate feedback. Let's say it were the node's port file, number 18. and you had to provide a path to that file. The immediate feedback here allows you to, if you see you made a mistake, you can go back and hit that number and correct it. That's invaluable. We've had clients say that just providing this sort of visible feedback before you actually submit the command has prevented them from making mistakes. And that provides value in and above the current command that clients really, really like. Let's go to slide 24. So if we look at problem determination, there's a couple things we want to talk about here on this slide. Usually clients have an issue with managed versus management profile. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes it's not very clear to them. They'll say, well, I'm trying to create a managed profile. And they think a managed profile is a DMGR or an admin agent or a job manager. Well, that's not really the case. The Info Center spells out what's a managed profile and what's a management profile. But we took that a step further to have the text here. When you, this scenario that we're seeing here is you've gone through and you're doing a create. So you want to create a profile, but now you're not sure. You're saying, well, I want to create a custom profile. Is that managed or is that management? That's what the red box outlines. It outlines number 4 and number 5. You can see what we have in parentheses is the template name. So the importance here is if you were to go look under profile templates, you would see what you see in parentheses. So for number 1, for a cell, the name of the template is cell DMGR and cell default. And for number 2, the name of a client will open a PMR and say, well, I want to create an application server, just a regular app server profile. Well, that's actually called the default template, and so forth with DMGR. And particular, number 4, if you wanted to create a custom profile, the problem that we had with clients was that when they had to specify the profile template path, is they wouldn't know what to point to. They would point to the default template when what they should point to is the managed template. And that's the value add in having these things in parentheses, is that if you needed to do this on the command line, you have some clarification as to what's a managed template and what is a management template. The management templates are the deployment manager, admin agent, or job manager. So we provide that distinction here where we've seen in the past clients have created PMRs because they wanted to create a custom profile, and instead of pointing to the managed template, they pointed to the default. And the same with deployment managers. They would want to create a deployment manager, and they think they need to point to the managed template, but they actually have to point to either the management template or the DMGR template. It's a little confusing, and we hope this makes it clear for the clients. There's one other thing to point out here. You see secure proxy, and you see number 7, which is other. What the other is for is if you wanted to create, you can also use this managed profiles interactive utility on other products. So if we had WPS, process server, or some of the other stack products, you may need to point to a template that is specific for that product. So the base templates that we provide here are the base WebS for application server templates. But for other products such as process server or others, they may have another path where they keep their templates. And if they extended their tool to work with the managed profiles interactive utility, then you could hit number 7 and point to where their templates reside on your system. Also, you can use 7 to create a feature pack enabled profile. You may say, well, what is number 2 for the augment? Well, if you already have a DMGR and or an app server profile created, not in a cell, then you would use number 2 after you've installed a feature pack to go through and augment that profile. Because it's already created, now you need to augment the profile. Well, if you haven't created the app server profile already and you install a feature pack, then you would use 7 to create a feature pack enabled profile. So that's pretty powerful. We have a lot of PMRs and a lot of issues where clients need help in creating a feature pack-enabled profile or augmenting their profile, and this provides an easy way for them to do that without making mistakes. Slide 25, please. Another issue that we see clients having a lot is on Windows or Unix, they may have their local host or the host name set to local host, and that can cause problems. In fact, the Info Center tells you that when creating any profile, the host name, that you should avoid using localhost as the host name, that you should use the real IP address or the real host name for that particular system. Just one of the reasons why, there are many reasons why you shouldn't do that, but one of the reasons why is that whatever is specified for the host name gets placed into the server index.xml file under where we see host. And there's many different ports here, but just one of them that will cause you to have problems if you try to start the server is the SOAP connector address, bootstrap address also. If any of those are pointing to localhost and it's not unique within the cell, you're going to have problems. So that's an issue that we've seen clients have, and we recommend to not use localhost, that you should use the real host name of your system. In fact, the Info Center tells you that you should not do that. If you open a PMR and you have localhost, we're going to tell you, nope, you shouldn't do that. You should have the real host name there. Slide 26, please. Some other issues that we found is that we have a properties file called wasprofile.properties, which resides in the WAS root properties folder. And what we've seen is that this, when creating a profile via the PMT or the Manage Profiles command or using the Manage Profiles interactive utility that we provide, those things or the paths that are used to determine where these things, where the profile should be created, are based off of this properties file. And we've seen problems where clients have gone in and they've altered things like the first red box we see here, which is where the log file goes, right? Logs, manage profiles, or the second one in particular, the PMT log name or the profile registry. In the second red box, that's the link or that's the path to where the profile registry.xml resides. And if you don't have any profiles created, it will create the profile registry at this path. If you have them, it updates this path. And we've seen clients make some changes here and point to a profile registry that didn't actually exist, and that can cause problems on the system. So the point in showing you this is that if you have any problems creating a profile, one of the first places you want to check and validate is this properties file. And you want to make sure that what's set for WS underscore profile registry is actually where that profile registry resides. If not, there can be some issues there. One of the things that can help you, I don't have outlined in red, but it's immediately underneath the second red box, there's a log level that you can set depending on if you're using the command line, which is the WS profile log level, or if you're using the PMT, which is the PMT log level. The default is 3, but can be set as high as 7. If you set the value to 7 for whichever method you're using, you will get in the log every method that's hit when you run the whatever task you're running at that particular point. If you're using the PMT, you will get the PMT log, and it will have everything in it as far as every method. If you're using the managed profiles and you're doing a create, Paul showed you what's created is called the DMGR or whatever profile you're creating. In this example, the DMGR underscore create log, and it will have every method in it that's hit. And that's really good for helping you determine where the problem is. If you can't solve it by looking at that with the verbose value set to 7, then you can find an exception that's in that log and open the PMR and send that to us, and that would help us a lot in helping resolve the problem. Slide 27, please. Another issue that we thought we should mention is in this wasprofile.properties file, it's two things here, the maskable action arguments. So, of course, we will star out most of the passwords, but if you want to prevent these passwords from appearing in a log, then here is where you can add that if not just for passwords, if there's a password that you want masked or if there's any other value that you don't want to appear in the logs, then you can add that here to this WS profile maskable action arguments, and you won't see that value in the logs. The other thing that we see clients have issues with is this last one that you see here, the WS profile default profile home. You can put this to wherever you want on your system, but we've seen some pretty complex and unique environments where they may have the profile set to in someone's home directory while the root binaries are installed at another place. That's perfectly fine. But you just want to make sure if you have problems that this is correct. All right, that's the whole point in mentioning these values in the WAS profile properties file, is that if you ever have any issue when you're creating a profile, ensure that every value that's in this properties file is correct. Slide 28, please. So, as a summary, what have we given you today? We've given you a background as to why and when you would use the Managed Profiles interactive tool. It's really any time that you would use Managed Profiles. And why would you use Managed Profiles? Well, prior to version 8, which was released in June, you didn't have any GUI support on 64-bit systems. And that's why you would want to use Managed Profiles, along with the fact that a lot of clients like to script out their environments, and they don't run with GUIs, period, even if they have 32-bit systems. They like to run headless. So that's the reason why they like to use Managed Profiles, to speed up their administration of their environments. We also talked about some of the problems that we've seen with Managed Profiles, and that it can be confusing and error-prone when creating profiles, specifically a cell that requires a large number of parameters. We can only imagine if we just took the required, but we saw that there were 39 optional parameters for the create, and if you just decided to do half of those optional parameters, that's 20 additional parameters on the command line that you have to ensure that there's no finger checks and that they're all correct. And that was the reason why we created the Managed Profiles interactive tool. In support, our number one mission is to find ways to ensure that the product is better and that we can prevent clients from opening PMRs. What can we do to prevent clients from opening PMRs? If it means self-assist or just providing helpful messages to the client that allows them to catch problems before they actually create them. And that was the reason for creating this. It's just ease of use when it comes to managing, creating, deleting, augmenting profiles that we see admins needing to do on a daily basis. Slide 29, please. We talked about some of the features, the ability to create and use response files. We talked about the command log that's created that's also used as an audit log. Administrators may say, well, we have a PMR open that says, yes, something happened, somebody deleted the profile, and we're not sure what happened. Well, the command log that we provide, which you also get in the regular managed profiles command, in the deployment manager create log, you get a set of commands that were there, but it's really hard to pull out all the commands that have been done on that system. What we provide is a really clear and easy-to-read log file that has every single managed profiles command that's been run on that system. And that's used as an audit log. The only thing that you don't get is which user ran that command, but you get a list of the commands there. That can also be used as a script if you want it. And we also provide the parameter validation rules that prevent you from making some of the easy finger checks that we've seen before, and things like making sure you provide the right parameters with other tasks. Slide 30, please. So we talked about where you need to download the tool. It's currently not in the product, but it's really easy to find and download. And what we see here, this picture just shows us, if you go to Google, the little inset photo has the search terms that you would need to place in Google, Managed Profiles Interactive. And if you did that, you can see the first two links that you get back, and there's a correlation if you line up one-to-one here. The first one is the an article called IBM Using the Managed Profile Interactive Tool to Create New Profiles in Web3 Application Server. When you go to that page, that's where you can find a viewlet, an interactive demonstration of how to use the tool, as well as a zip file that you would download. You download that zip file and, again, extract it to the WAS root bin directory, and you're set and you're ready to go. It's not like you have to install anything. We've had clients say, well, I'm in a production environment. If I have to add anything to it or install anything, that's a change request, and it's going to take 2-3 weeks in order to do that. And their main concern is that they don't know what they're installing. Well, there's nothing to install here. It's just extracting the 2 or 3 files that you need and putting them in the right directory, and then you're ready to go. The second link there, the support authority, taking the confusion and errors out of managing profiles, basically goes through what we've done today. It shows you a screenshot of every command, every action, and it goes into detail about what's required and what's optional, just so you can get familiar with and educate yourself on what the tool does. If you're a little apprehensive about putting this in your production environment, I suggest go to that support authority article so that you can become familiar with exactly what you're going to do. That way there's no questions. And we've provided this link to clients, and clients have said, you know what, that's good you did that. I've got a really good feel for it now. I'm putting it on all of my systems, and we're going to use it from now on out. In fact, we've had several cases of feedback where, you know, clients have told us, hey, this is great. We love it. We're using it on all our tools. This is going to make my administrative issues with managing profiles so much easier. And then thirdly, in the Info Center for version 7 and 6.1, if you just searched for the Manage Profiles command, you know in the Info Center we always have things like Avoid Trouble. And wherever you see Avoid Trouble, that tells you that's something you need to pay attention to. So in that Avoid Trouble section, right under the Manage Profiles command, you'll see a reference to the Manage Profiles Interactive tool. And there's an actual link to number 1, which is the download site where you can actually get the tool. So there's several different ways you can get the tool. If you searched in the Info Center under Manage Profiles, you're going to get a reference to this link that we talked about earlier. You can go to Google and type in Manage Profiles Interactive, and you're going to get the link where you can actually download it. So we've provided several ways for you to get the tool and use it, and we hope that you find it very valuable. At this time, we don't have anything else. We will turn it over to Joseph.
Thank you, Randall, Aline, and Paul for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We currently have no questions on the phone.
All right, it looks like we don't have any questions in the web conference as well. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.